Some have been specifically on pain, and some of them have kind of had that subject within them. And so the strategy, I've picked up on some strategies here on dealing with pain. And I'm sharing with you, these are things that have helped me, and well, hopefully they're helping you too. Let's see if you agree with that. So every person that has ever walked on this planet has dealt with pain, including Jesus Christ. From the day we're born until the day we leave, we deal with it. Because of that, people that walk with God find comfort in verses like Revelation chapter 21 at verse 4, where God tells us he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there'll be no longer any death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. This reminds us that there is a point in time when all the struggles in this life come to an end, and our eternal destination with our Heavenly Father begins. Godly people look forward to no more tears, overcoming death. Sadness is gone. There's no reason to cry. There's no pain. There are no longer any physical or emotional discomforts. There's no longer any attacks on our spiritual connection we have with our Heavenly Father. So if the faithful will be rewarded, why is pain something for Christians to be concerned about? And the short answer is, first things have not yet passed away. Currently, there are tears. We haven't finished the race. We're still here. We deal with loss. There's crying and pain. Pain is real. I saw that this afternoon when my grandson fell off the slide. He was in a lot of pain. Pain can and will impact our eternal destination. Pain can chip away at our morale. It can cause stress, anxiety, and depression. Pain left unchecked usually gets worse, not better. A small cut, you might think, oh, no big deal, I can handle that. But if it gets infected, serious complications can take place. A relationship weighing on the mind, causing emotional pain, will not go away by just ignoring it. Many times we choose to ignore emotional pain when confronting is necessary. Ignoring pain may lead to sleepless nights, not eating right, intrusion into daily routines, the inability to work, and financial loss. Escalating pain closes our circle of operation. By default, we focus on self and personal needs. Social interaction diminishes, and God may be reprioritized or even abandoned. I no longer have time to think about anyone else. I no longer have time to honor and praise God and worship Him. I have to deal with my issues and my pain. People have said there is no God because of the pain in their life. People have come to reject God because of pain. Pain will drive us to point the finger. Blame. It's not my fault. I didn't ask for this. It's your fault. It's your fault that I'm dealing with this. And if there isn't another person to blame, then certainly we can blame God. God, you are the reason I'm in this mess. You are the reason that I'm suffering. When Job suffered from physical and emotional pain, the goal of Satan was to disrupt and cause him to to abandon his walk with the Lord. Job chapter 1, verse 11. Satan requested God to stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. Job chapter 2, verse 5, again. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face. The pain that Job dealt with was a test of every facet of his faith and trust in God. As Christians, pain can do the same for us. There would be nothing more gratifying to Satan than to see our relationship with God disrupted or abandoned completely. Paul talked about running the race in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. People often give up in a race because the pain is too great. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at verse 24, the Apostle Paul said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" Here's the key. Run in such a way that you may win. That's an encouragement, a to-do. Run in such a way that you may win. In other words, develop strategies that will help you win. In this case, develop strategies that will help you deal with pain. Is it possible that God can help us develop strategies to deal with pain? Well, I'm going to answer yes, because if I don't, I have to quit right now. So, a few strategies that I've picked up on in the past lessons and messages from that we've been having here from God's Word. So, strategy one. I've already kind of been talking about it. Accept that we cannot be pain-free. It's misleading and incorrect to advise people that they can be pain-free. Yet, that's the trend in our day and age. Technology has led us down a path that anything can be solved, that any pain, we can make that go away. If you're cold, push a button, turn a dial, get warm. If you're too hot, same thing. We have personalized wireless communication. It can beckon emergency help 24 hours a day. We design with safety in mind to protect and stop pain. Helmets, elbow pads, gloves, seat belts, airbags, and safety pins. We have doctors, lots of doctors. We have hospitals. We have unbelievable medical breakthroughs. And best of all, we have drugs. Drugs for practically anything that ails, physically and emotionally. And if it can't cure, then at least we can make the pain go away. In 2012, the people in this country spent about $3 trillion on health care. Wow. I didn't have a calculator with that many zeros, so I hope I did the math here right. In 2012, there were about 300 million people in the U.S. Well, divide that into 3 trillion. I came up with $10,000. So that would mean $10,000 spent on every man, woman, and child on health care in 2012. A lot of money. We've been trained to believe in fairy tales, a neat and tidy package, a perfect world where pain and discomfort do not exist. Even in spreading the gospel, Christians can get caught up in this idea of presenting a message, be with God, He will protect you from all pain and discomfort. And that's simply not true. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, God told Eve, "With painful labor, you will give birth to children." I've never known a woman to have a painless experience giving birth. I can remember being in the hospital with my wife and spending 19 hours in a maternity ward there, a room in the hospital. During that time, women were coming in, they were giving birth, and they were leaving. I know they were in pain. I heard the screaming, I heard the crying, and I heard words that I can't speak in front of you. It reminded me, brought this thought of a medieval torture chamber. What could they possibly be doing to those women? In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, God told Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life." I've come to know the meaning of this too well. Maybe you have too. "Since the day man departed from the instructions of God, we have sought relief from pain." Even Jesus was disappointed when, in John chapter 6, many of the disciples turned away when they realized his mission was not to relieve their sickness, their hunger, their physical discomforts, but rather spiritually reconnect them back to God. God did not set the expectation this life will be pain-free. Pursuing such a life is not a reality. The strategy is, accept that. Step back. Look at the bigger picture. And what we and why we have to deal with it in the first place. In other words, what's the purpose of pain? What does pain do? Well, pain will alert us to the fact that something's wrong. That's good. It should prompt us to take appropriate action. So there's two extremes. There's the person here whose life is consumed in trying to deal with pain. And then on the other side is the person that just totally ignores it. It's amazing that people can be in pain and do nothing. It happens when people can't connect the symptom with the cause. The classic thing is, "My life is a mess. I don't understand why. I'm just going to keep on going." Or take the wrong action. Or it's kind of like dropping something on your toe when you're in the middle of doing work. And you're so consumed by that work or wherever you're trying to do that mission, you forgot what you dropped on your toe and it really is hurting, but you just ignore it and keep going. Isaiah approached the Israelites and illustrated sin this way. In Isaiah chapter 1 at verse 6, he said, "From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil." So he's saying that you have all these painful wounds and sores over your body. That's the sin. And you're not dealing with it. You're not cleaning them out. You're not getting rid of it. You're not bandaging these wounds. It's painful, yet you're letting it go. Isaiah was telling the people you need to respond with it, with the appropriate care. The Apostle Paul responded to pain by prayer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, concerning a thorn in the flesh, whatever ailment that is, we don't know. But he said, "To keep me from exalting myself, There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. So he used this word thorn to describe the ailment. You know that whatever it was had to be painful. If you ever trimmed roses or cleared blackberry vines, if you ever been stuck by one of those thorns, you know that hurts. The pain, whatever it was, caused Paul to respond with a request for relief. He was persistent about it three times. And even though his prayer wasn't answered the way he would have liked, he responded to the pain in an appropriate way. He approached God about it. Pain alerts us that something is wrong. The strategy is to recognize it and respond to it in an appropriate way. Don't ignore it like the Israelites ignored the painful consequences of sin, but rather do what Paul did. Go to God in prayer, accept his answer. We do our part, and he does his part. Another strategy that pain, can teach us is exactly that. That's the strategy. Pain can teach. We learn from it. I don't like this. I don't think you like it, but it is reality. No one wants to get burned, figuratively or literally. Who wants to stick their tongue on a frozen pole to see what that's like? Or jump off the second floor of a house onto a trampoline and miss? Or invest in pet rocks? Or do the things God specifically said not to do? Yet people have done it. People have done these things and have learned painful lessons. God has pointed out we struggle with learning from painful experiences. That's kind of interesting. We struggle with learning from painful experiences. You would think that would come easy. I mean, after all, it does hurt. So, if the pet rock investment didn't work out the first time, why would you invest in something just as silly a second time? People do. The Hebrew writer reflected on Israel's lack of learning from the painful experiences they encountered as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 10, God observed and said this, "Although they had seen what I had done for 40 years, that is why I was angry with these people. So I said, their hearts continue to stray, and they have not learned my ways." They didn't learn from the painful experiences, such as the wandering itself, Korah's rebellion, a plague of serpents, intermingling with other people and cultures, Moab to be specific, all of which resulted in the loss of many lives. They weren't learning from painful experiences. When God says, here's a behavior not to engage in, such as in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. These are all things that have caused pain to people in the past. People have already done that. We don't need to do that to learn from that. But people continue to do it. We should learn from history. Yet, people get drunk and experience pain. People get angry and experience pain. Immorality has painful consequences. We may have had our own personal experience with that, or have seen the pain it caused a friend or a loved one. The strategy is to learn from the experience, whether it's ours or someone else's, train ourselves not to do dumb things. When confronted, ask questions like, where is this going? How is it going to end up? What has the past taught me? And most importantly, what does God have to say on the matter? The experience of pain will teach. Don't be a victim of learning a lesson more than once. Learn from our mistakes. So, the last strategy I'm mentioning here is draw a line. When the answer to Paul for his thorn in the flesh was, "My grace is sufficient for you," that was decision time. That's when Paul made a decision, I'm on this train or I'm off it. And that's what pain will do. Am I in or am I out? Am I going to throw in the towel and walk away? Or am I going to stand my ground? I was talking with a brother not that long ago. He had some painful decisions to make. And he had taken this to God in prayer. And he had an answer for his prayer. And I really appreciate the response. The response was, I'm in, 100%. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm going. This is how it's going to happen. And a clear and definite line had been drawn. Has anyone been inflicted by one of Satan's flaming arrows? When a flaming arrow lands, that's pain. Well, it's doing exactly what it was designed to do. When they land, it not only pierces, but it delivers that burn. It's designed to inflict a maximum amount of pain. Paul did not say that the flaming arrows would not land. What he did say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, was that by exercising faith, we'll be able to extinguish them. It's part of the armor we have to respond to pain. When Paul explained why we have the armor, he told us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, you have this because it will allow you to stand your ground. It will allow you to draw a line, to be able to say, I'm not giving in, I'm not giving up, I'm not throwing in the towel. I'm on this train, and it's going home. So the strategy is, when encountering pain, draw a line. Hebrews chapter 11 talked about the myriad of witnesses that did exactly that. And our brother Paul here read that for us in Hebrews chapter 11. Great reading. Appreciate it. In chapter 12, verse 1, the writer summed it up and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Pain is going to invoke a response. It will demand a line be drawn. We summon our faith or we throw in the towel. And the question is, how will we respond? Do we have a strategy of an option of giving up, or to seek out worldly options, or will it be to have the confidence and the faith, as Paul said, and hopefully we can say, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I've mentioned four strategies here to deal with pain. Accept pain as a reality. It's part of life. Pain is a warning. Something's wrong. Don't ignore it. Rather, take the proper action. Pain teaches. If you experience it, learn from it the first time. And when you encounter pain, draw a line. Take a stand. Do not give up on your walk with God. So my final thought is this. We may be dealing with pain right now. For those that are here tonight, at least it hasn't prevented us from being here. You may know people dealing with pain, or perhaps a brother or sister that's not here because pain is crippling them physically or emotionally. And we can talk about it in a setting like this. And we may understand and agree. Chances are that someone will be thinking, that's fine, but you don't understand what I'm dealing with. You're not walking in my shoes. You don't feel what I feel. Or if you're not dealing with the pain now, when it comes and we need to respond to it, the things taught, the things said don't come to mind. That's the moment of truth, where the rubber meets the road. When we have a tendency to revert to the old thinking or worldly solutions, then can't grasp the bigger picture of what God is presenting. The message I presented tonight is about getting a grip on pain. So when that moment of truth is there, you've got that grip. You can walk with God. Pain does not have to consume our lives to the point of ignoring or giving up on God. You will not find a faithful person in the Word of God that ever did that. They were tested, yet victorious. And utilizing the strategies that they did, we can be victorious too. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 6, bear one another's burdens. Pain is a burden. If you're dealing with that pain tonight and you need prayers of the congregation, we're here to help you with that. Take advantage of this time as we stand and sing the song of invitation.